Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, Song of Solomon. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I want to emphasize and lift my title tonight from verse 1, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I'm going to preach on Jesus for the last night of the meeting. I want us to think about Jesus for the rest of the week until Sunday and have our hearts on the Lord Jesus. Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here for every night if you've come. And I appreciate it so much. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless this evening. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in church. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. I pray, Lord, you'd help this message to ring clear in our minds and hearts. And Lord, the most lovely name in the world that we should never forget, not less of but more of, is Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for men like Brother Bador, who's here, Pastor Madonna, who had the faith in his father to do what this church needed, or we wouldn't be here right now. And then for Pastor Lance and his family, Lord, moving them and leading them here for this revival. All things work together for the good of those that love you. Lord, I pray you'd bless now. Use this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. What a beautiful name for our Lord. By the way, he gave himself that name. Nobody gave him that name. He chose to call himself the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. That name Jesus means everything to the believer. Wouldn't you agree with that? Everything to the believer. I want us to consider that name tonight. His name to the saved is what the name Bethlehem was to the birth of Jesus, or Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He's everything. Everything to me. But I find today an overwhelming need to defend his name. His name is being put under and laughed at and scoffed at, as it has been since the creation of time and man. But I want to defend his name, because so many people today are deleting and not defending his name. But I believe what you hold in your hand, your King James Bible, AV 1611, is the greatest defender of the beautiful and lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when other perversions and diversions delete his name and downgrade his deity, that Bible you hold in your hand protects his name. Other Bibles disguise his name. They reason out his name. They apologize for his name. I have a study of 13 translations that have either omitted or taken out his name in an effort to better God's Word. But how can you better a perfect Bible? How can you make more better a preserved and inspired, infallible, inherent Word of God? Right. These 13 translations, I'll just name them so you know what I'm talking about. Westcott and Hart of 1811, American Standard Version of 1901, the American New American Standard Version of 1971, the New International Version of 1973, Revised Standard Version of 1952, Moffat's New Translation of 1935, Condensed American Translation of 1948, the New English Bible of 1961, the Weymouth Modern Speech of 1909, the Beck American Translation of 1976, Nestle's 23rd edition of 1957, the Bible Society 3rd edition of 1976, the Modern Language Bible of 1969, and the New Berkeley Version of 1969 as well. Why do I give you those 13 translations? For this reason. 1,831 times they omitted the name Jesus. That's right. And Christ and Lord and God and others of his name. 1,737 times these translations degraded his deity. 268 times they took whole verses out with his name in those verses. 1,624 times they took portions and changed them altogether. 1,610 times words were changed to different words. 8,674 times, words were changed to totally different meanings. That doesn't include other translations that have done even more damage. Good News for Modern Man, Living Bible, Reader's Digest, Condensed Version, the New King James, it took out the these and the thous of his name. And even Precious Moments, how they've crept into our Sunday school teachers and how they're not King James, but they're New King James. I believe God in heaven knew what his name meant and for us not to mess with that name. That name has a divine meaning, and to change that divine meaning is an effort to change his word and his name. The words like Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus and Lord God Almighty and Christ the Lord. Each of these names have a wonderful divine meaning. His name is Jesus 700 times it occurs in the New Testament. He who wrapped himself in a garment of humanity, perfect at birth and sinless in life and blameless in death. He who on our behalf at Calvary provided a blood-washed deliverance for every sin-bound soul. Aren't you glad my friend Jesus came as our substitute? His name is Christ, 300 times mentioned in the New Testament, meaning the anointed one. From Christ comes the word Christian. From Christian comes the word Christianity. He's our divinely appointed Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. These are names they took out of their translations. But it's in my Bible. It's going to stay in my Bible. Listen to me. His name is Jesus Christ. 100 times in the New Testament mentioned, meaning the God-man. The work and work, or his work and worth are one. His name and nature are one. His name is Lord. 500 times given in the New Testament, meaning sovereign and majesty, my master and my majesty and my Lord. And in other words, my friend, you can't own him unless you have his Holy Spirit. And thank God by his Spirit we have the Lord in our life. And then his name is Lord Jesus, 115 times mentioned in the New Testament, meaning Lord of Lords, Lord of all things, and Lord of Lords. We don't need less of that. We need more of that. His name is Lord Jesus Christ, 75 times in the New Testament. That meaning means in my name, both Lord and Christ. His name mentioned 417 times is Lord God, meaning supreme authority and sovereign leader. 5 times in the New Testament, his name is Lord God Almighty, meaning eternal God, all power, all sufficient, and unchanging. His name is Branch, meaning he bears fruit. The last Adam, the head of the spiritual race. The Word of God, that we might behold his glory. His name in the Old Testament is a word for Christ, Shiloh, meaning one who pacifies or peacemaker. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's wonderful, and the world is yet to see how wonderful his work and words and ways are. He's mighty God, the power of the Godhead at our disposal. Can you imagine that? That's what he meant these words to be for us. He's the theme of the Old Testament. He's the end of the law of the New Testament. He's the King of the Jews and the perfect Son of Man, Son of God in righteousness. He's the first fruits. He was made to sin for us in truth. He's our armor. He's the supplier of every need. He's the preeminent one. He's the mediator, the suffering substitute, our great God and Savior. He's a faith and fulfiller. He's the word of life and the believer's security. He's a returning Lord, and thank God he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible still says in John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from above is above all. Well, my friend, if he's above all, then he must be above all in our preaching. He must be above all in our living, in our teaching, in all that we do. You know, there are over 365 names of the Lord Jesus, one for every day of the year. We just need to take that name and let God change our lives. How can anyone neglect that beautiful name? We read a while ago that he called himself the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. Christ is the Lily of the Valley. He's pure. He's lovely. He's beautiful. The bride, his bride, is the church. It's the lily that reflects his image in the loveliness and bears it to all men. You don't have to show me, Jesus. I just know he's real. Thank God for that lovely, wonderful name. Because of the nail prints and because of the riven sign, I believe in that Lord Jesus. Because of that Bible, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Roses and lilies of man's gardens fade away, and they wither. But when Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, he spoke of his unfading glory and his never-dying love. For who? For me. For you. Thank God for Jesus. I'm so glad, my friend, that we can consider how lovely that name is tonight. I have three things about his lovely name. Number one, are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Number one, how much do I think of Christ? If he is the rose of Sharon that he named himself and the lily of the valleys, how much do I think of Christ? How much do I think of him? Well, just thinking of him brightens everything. Just thinking of that name brightens life, brightens our character, our society, our church, everything. You know why, my friend, that our culture and our characters are going down the tubes? Because we're not including Jesus. If we had Jesus, things would be better than they are today. Just think of his beauty. He's majestic as a fragrant rose, yet lowly as the lilies among the thorns in the Valley of Australian. I've been to the Valley of Australian, and you can see these roses and lilies that are portrayed in these verses. He's the ornament of the earth, the splendor of the plants, the eye of flowers, and the beauty of the fields. He's the glory of the plains of Sharon and the honor of the valleys of Palestine. From Joppa to Jordan's valley, he is a scattering fragrance, not just to fill a room or a house, but every wandering wind, fragrance that fills the air. He's meek and lowly. He's truth and grace. He's meant to be plucked and enjoyed as roses and lilies are. He's easily obtained, likened unto men, heard by common people, yet praised as a king. Thank God for that lovely name. Amen. He's our bread of life. He's our refreshing water. He's our lovely flowers. He's the object of pure admiration. In Jesus, we find all necessity and we find all delight. He's the delight of the eyes of faith and even the flowers that are to our bodily sight. All the beauties of heaven and earth are met in one word. J-E-S-U-S. Amen. Jesus. Yet blind men see no color. Men without scent perceive no odor. The truth is today, my friend, he's delightful, he's fragrant, but carnal men see no delight in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. But the grave question tonight is he that to you? Is he that to me? He ought to be preeminent. He ought to be first in our life. Matthew 6, 28 through 30, the Bible said, why take you thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Romans 9, 5, the Bible said, Christ came, who is over all. Christ came, who is over all. Then he must be God if he's over all, and he is over all. At that name, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee shall bow to that name. That name, every knee, every martyr, every apostle, saved, lost, the archangels, all of heaven will bow to the Lord of the Father. All, every tongue, the Bible said, shall confess, English and Malayan and Laotian, Mexican, Russian, Asian and Arabian, Italian, Spanish, Persian, Israeli. I mean, all the dialects of the world, every tongue shall confess that he's Lord Jesus. He's the Lord. To whom? God. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Jesus is the Lord. Augustine once said, Christ is not valued at all unless he's valued above all. I'm asking tonight, is he that to us? Above all. It was A.W. Tozer that said, I have suffered through many a dull and tedious sermon, But no sermon is poured along to me when the preacher is teaching or showing me about Jesus, that lovely name of Jesus. I mean, I could be bored to death, but you start talking about Jesus and my spiritual antennas go up. That's the greatest name in all the world. Christ's name is unspeakably beautiful. No sooner than you say it than you think of Bethlehem, or Gethsemane, or Golgotha. The lowly child of Bethlehem, the sigh of Gethsemane, the groan of Calvary. That name is not only unspeakably beautiful, but that name is a glorious name. Revelation 5:13, the Bible said every creature in the universe will one day say blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. It's going to be a great day when we get to heaven and hear the praise of God and the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible said unto you therefore that believe, or which believe, he is precious. Not only is his name unspeakably beautiful, not only is his name glorious, but his name is precious. Precious. How precious? So precious that the Son of God shed his blood to save my soul. How precious? So precious that that blood came from his own heart. How precious? So precious that that blood came from his own brow. How precious? So precious that blood came from his own side, his riven side. How precious? So precious that that blood came from his own life. He saved my parents. He saved my brothers. He saved my sisters. He saved me. He saved my wife. He saved my children. And he's now saving my grandchildren by that precious blood. Oh, thank God for that redemptive blood. Amen. And that blood is at right now at the mercy seat. That redemptive blood is still powerful blood today, still saving blood today. He's let me do this, what I'm doing right now, for 47 years. I didn't just acquire this lifestyle. I've lived it for 47 years. So we've learned how, if he's precious, if he's a rose of Sharon, little of the valleys, then we ought to think about him. But number two, maybe we ought to consider a question also, have I been with him? Do I think of him? How much time do I spend with him? Have I been with him? He's abundant as a common flower, adored as a sweet perfume. He's abounding among the beautiful valleys. He abides among every open place. Those who desire Christ can have him no matter where you come from a castle or a cabin. It doesn't matter. You can have Jesus. From a cathedral or just a common place, you can have Jesus. Christ isn't hard to find. If you want him, you can have him. It's called salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Jesus came that we might be saved. He's not a rare orchid, but as simple as a covering Sharon's plain and the lilies which abound in all the valleys of Palestine. This rose is not in some high steeps or guarded gardens. Jesus is out in the open for any passerby who wants to take of that beautiful flower. That's how common Jesus is. He abides in every open place, everywhere, by that any passerby may take him freely at their own will, by their own choice. He's there when you need him. He is now what he's always been and what he'll always be forever and forever. He never changes. Thank God, my friend, he stooped to the lowest to save me. I ask you a question tonight. Do you have the sure knowledge that you've been saved? Do you know him in prayer, this Jesus that's common to everyone? Do you know him by his word, this lovely name, Jesus? Do you walk with God, dwelling with the rose? I preached in Pasadena, California, where the rose gardens are. I've had revivals there with Pastor Salazar. But there was another man way before me. His name was Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was there to preach at a conference at a motel or a hotel where there's a huge conference hall. And they were having a Bible conference, preaching just like we're doing now. But while he was in Pasadena, he wanted to go see these rose gardens. So he left his motel room and he left the conference room where he was before the meeting started. And he walked among the rose gardens of Pasadena. When he got back and sat down, there was a man in the pew behind him. He said, Dr. Weigel. And Dr. Weigel said, yes, can I help you? He said, I know where you've been today. He goes, where have I been today? He said, you've been among the rose gardens of Pasadena. the scent of the roses and the aroma, the beautiful smell of the roses are all about you. Dr. Charles Weigel said these words, "I want to be so close to Jesus that his aroma might pervade my being, that his spirit might fill my life that others may see it. No matter how I sing or if I preach, my words or my actions, that I have been with Jesus." That I have been with Jesus. Have you been with him? Do you spend time with him? A wanderer found a lump of clay, so redolent of sweet perfume, its odor scented all the room. "What art thou?" was his quick demand. "Art thou some gem of Samarcand, or spikenet of rude disguise, or other costly merchandise?" "Nay, I am but a lump of clay." "Then whence this wondrous perfume, say?" "Friend, if the secret I disclose, I have been dwelling with the rose." You know, I was always told, you hang around the trash cans, you're going to take on the scent. You hang around the skunk, you're going to take on the odor. But let's hang around Jesus. Take on that sweet and lovely scent of the Lord. Number one, do I think of him? How much do you think of him? The world doesn't think much about him. They might think about him if they ever go to church. This world has made us so busy, we never think of Jesus, hardly ever. We ought to make it a practice every day of our life, all day long, to think of Jesus. Billy Sunday, his wife was nicknamed Mall Sunday. They were walking down downtown Chicago, and I think the story goes like this. He was kind of muffling under his breath, and she said, "What are you doing, Paul?" He said, "Oh, nothing, Mall." He said, "I'm just praying to Jesus." Oh, we ought to have a conscious attitude of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And then, have I been with him? We ought to make it a goal in our life to make more moments and more time, more days for Jesus. It's life changing. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we act. Like he said, it's the best medicine in all the world. Oh, Dr. Roloff said, we don't need a pill. We need the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you my last point. You're still with me? Say amen. The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, if he's that, then do we think of him? How much do I think of him? How much have I been with him? And the last one is this. How much am I like him? Amen. How much am I like him? Do folks know that I'm different? Do folks think that I may be different than the world? Ask you a question. Do your neighbors know what church you go to? Do your neighbors know that you love the Lord? Thank God for you that bear that testimony. My mother's still alive. She's 85, about to turn 86 in 2 months. And she has rose gardens. My daddy passed away, and we have about 3 acres of land that we grew up with. And I said, Mom, you have the choice of the quality of life. You can live where you want to live. Do you want to live somewhere where you don't have to take care of all this property? She goes, oh, no. As long as I can, I want to live right here. She's spry. She's spunky. And she gets out and mows all that grass. But what she loves to do more than anything, she wants those rose gardens to flourish. People drive by and they back up and pull into the driveway just to see those roses. Kind of like Miss Donna and her flowers at her house. I told her she had a green thumb. It's wonderful to see the beauty of the rose. When we were kids, sometimes the first time it happened to me, my mother asked us to get a couple of wheelbarrows, and there were 5 of us children. And we followed her around to the flower gardens around the house and into the fields and around the fences. And she began to take snips and snip those branches back to just stubs of the plant itself, of the bush. I said, Mom, you're going to kill that rose. You're going to kill the rose bush. She goes, oh, no. She made this statement. I wrote it down. We never lose anything by what we give away. She said, if we cut this back like we should and prune it back like we should, it'll be bigger next year, more full next year, more beautiful next year. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, the more of your life you give to God, much more of his life he gives back to you. God wants your life so that he can show you his. You share his name everywhere, and God will be pleased with it. Paul said in Acts 26 and verse 5, after the straitest sect of religion, I have lived a Pharisee. In other words, religion never helped him much. He was full of religion before God saved him, but religion never saved him. Religion took him down the wrong path. Can I tell you that religion is the biggest tool the devil uses to keep you away from heaven, to keep people out of salvation in heaven? Jesus is that sweet and lovely name. We don't need less of him. We need more of him. We've got religion everywhere. America's full of counterfeit religions. Hindus and gurus, Moonies and Muslims. Confucius and Krishnas and Mohammedisms. We got Buddhisms and Armstrongism and Mormons and Jehovah Witness and Seventh-day Adventists. We got church Christian Scientists and Jews and Catholics, Greek Orthodox and Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Nazarene, Methodist, Unity, Full Gospel, Apostolic, Reformed, Anglican, even gay, and Church of Satan's and Pentecost. And yet, we have the Baptists too. I'm not going to leave them alone. Baptists, American, German, Swedish, Southern, conservative, general, new and old regular, you know, like the gas pumps, hard shell, primitive, missionary, independent. But may I tell you, anything that does not make Jesus preeminent is a counterfeit religion. All the wasted services, all the wasted times America comes together without Jesus. I've called it the religion of no's. No repentance, no book, no blood, no blessed hope, no cleanliness, no concern, no conduct. We don't need less of Jesus. We need more of Jesus. He cleansed a spotted leper. He opened blinded eyes. He walked on troubled waters, astounded passersby. Forgave the sinful woman, raised Lazarus from the dead. Took bread from one small basket, then he 10,000 fed. He's the oak and I'm the ivy. He's the potter and I'm the clay. He's the oil and I'm the vessel. I'm the traveler, he's the way. I'm the flower and he's the fragrance. I'm the lamp and he's the flame. He's the words I sing, the music. I'm the bride which takes his name. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Fairer, much fairer than gold. More than the lily that grows by the wayside. Precious, more precious than gold. You're like the rose of Sharon, the fairest of the fair. You're all my heart could e'er desire. Your name is Jesus. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're precious, more precious than gold. Oh, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. I don't know how long you've been saved, but if you've been saved any time at all, any length at all, you know that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here right now. Everything we do is for his sake. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 7, the Bible said, Hosea said, "For they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk and the bud shall not yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up." What if tonight I came with a whole bunch of chrysanthemum flowers, those that have all the petals, and I had one for every lady, every little girl, and I passed them out, but before I'd let you have it and take it home, I would take that chrysanthemum from you and I begin to pluck the petals. Well, you'd say, that's crazy. Why would you do such a thing? You give me a flower and then you pluck the petals. I'd pluck all those petals loose and then I would take the bud and rip it from the stalk, and all I'd give you back to take home is the stalk. You say, that's stupid. That's a crazy analogy, is it? That's exactly what the devil wants to do to our lives. He wants to take the essence of our joy, our beauty, the fragrance of Jesus away from our life. He wants to take our happiness, our gladness, our love, our concern, just to be petals to die on the ground. You know, God created you to be beautiful in your season. God created you to blossom and bloom in your season, to be his likeness, to be his fragrance. But we let the devil just destroy us in so many ways. It's a battle, but we ought to take that battle seriously. We ought to let Jesus be the victor. He's the captain of our team. He wants to help us. He wants us to win the battles in our life. Victor Hugo described Wellington at the Battle of Waterloo. Gordon, an assistant officer, had fallen in battle, and another fierce battle took place right in front of them. Bombs and shells were bursting in front of them. And one of the boys asked Mr. Wellington, "Master, if you allow yourself to be killed, what are your instructions for the rest of us if you should die in this battle?" Wellington said, "Hold this spot. We must die where we stand." And I say to all of us tonight, hold this spot. Amen. We must die for the name of Jesus. We ought not have less of him, more of him. We don't need less of him in our Bible, so you make sure you keep the right Bible. Amen. We don't need less of him in our church, so you make sure you keep the right church. We don't need less of him in our lives, so you make sure you stay away from the devil's crowd. We need more of Jesus. Jesus has done so much for me. He's given me the right Bible. He's given me the right church. He's given me the right pastor. He's given me the right wife, the right children. He's blessed my life, blessed my family. He's blessed my ministry. He's blessed me with thousands upon thousands of souls in 47 years. He's cleaned me up. He's caused me to live right. I don't know no other life but to serve Jesus. We ought to get to the point where nothing else matters. Oh, I know we have to survive. I know we have to make a living. I know we have to work in the workplace. And I really feel so honored that I'm a preacher and don't have to work out in the workplace. But I know one thing. I know without Jesus, all of us would fail. From pulpit to pew, we must make him first and foremost in our life. Well, that's our revival. I wanted to end on Jesus. Thank you for singing about Jesus tonight. He means everything. The Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. That's not my name for him. That's his name for himself. Shall we stand, please? In conclusion to these days of revival, there's nothing more important than for God's people to rally around that name, to make sure we never forget a day, and if we can, even a waking moment or an hour about Jesus. Pray to him, live for him, honor him, defend him, sing about him, talk about him, teach about him, preach about him, and a million other words I can't even think of. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Let's bow our heads, please. Invitation is simple. The lifeblood of Covenant Baptist Church is one word, Jesus. We forget Jesus, we forget everything. I wonder how many tonight would say, with me included, I want to live my life striving to make him the first place in my life. More important than anything, anything, is my Jesus. That's the invitation tonight. And you bring your heart to the altar and give your loyalty to Christ anew, in revival and afresh. Thank you, Pastor.